Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Happy Thursday, everybody. Great to have you with us on the show today. Sean, we had a great time last night.
Had a blast working the crowd in downtown Seelens Grove at Isabella. Excellent to see everybody there. Wonderful turnout.
Great restaurant, by the way. Yeah. Really like it. Very, very nice. They had a great crowd. It was also fun watching the suit work the crowd last night. And finally, after about 3 minutes of doing that, he sat down in a chair.
That's right. But before he was down in the chair over in the corner by the door, this may have been a half an hour before that. And I think at that point, you may have been either talking with either Tom Mertz from Sunbury Motors or Steve Engel from Purdy Insurance. I was talking to Matt Contrillo. We were over at one of the tables getting a bite to eat. And by the way, big congrats to Matt and his wife. They're buying a house.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Great news. It was great to hear the news from the two of them yesterday at the party. They're going to close after Christmas.
But, they are a really, really nice couple.
They are.
Really are. Yeah. I mean, I always, every time I see Matt, I say, boy, you married way above yourself.
And he'll tell you that himself. But but before Kevin landed in the chair, he was cruising around the corner, and I was with Matt and his wife over at their table, and he goes, I heard him utter say, I got to get a broom. And it's like, what? And Matt and I kind of looked at each other, and it's like, he's got to get what? He's got to get a broom. And it's like, well, you now on the Isabella, the Napoli family hire you for a side hustle? Or what's going on? It's like, wait, they have a wait staff that'll take care of that. It's like, what? And they were all wonderful last night. So to Domenico and the whole crew, that was a wonderful time.
Really, really wonderful. Yeah. Really enjoyed it. Enjoyed it very much.
Yeah, we all had a chance to catch up with our buddy Ben Reichle. He'll be back on the mark tomorrow morning.
Ben wants me to speak to his group again, and I don't know. I can't remember when it is, April, May, March, something. I said, sure, I'll do it. I'll do it. Why not? But I'm looking forward to it. We had a good time last night. Great time. I said to Jamie at one point, I says, you know, check out the suit's tie. I said, that's what you get for a gag gift. When they're fooling around at the holiday party here.
All right, we've received clarification from the suit. I need to get a drink. It was not I need to get a broom. I need to get a drink. So, there we go. Got that cleared up.
That's okay, because Bob Buehner cleared up something last night. About the number of times said councilman has voted to raise taxes. I guess there's documentation.
At least you can still count it on just one hand, so that's good. So one finger?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but which finger?
Is your sign still upside down in your door?
He didn't catch that till this morning. So.
I know who I am.
We know who you are, all right.
Yeah. Yes, and you made it apparent to everybody at the party last night that you know exactly who you are. Over and over and over. Don't they know who I am? Right? And as nothing kept happening, I finally looked over and said, yes, we do. We know exactly who you are.
So what was the big Penn State football question that was kicked around last night as you were going through the crowd? Anything big?
Over and over and over and over again. Okay? What about the parking?
Wow, I didn't expect that. I was expecting like a bowl question.
No, over, and because they just put out the new parking plan, the new entrance zones and things like that. Well, they put that out, okay, of which, of course, I don't recall being in any of the meetings. So, I was trying to answer the questions as best I could, but that was the over and over and over again I got asked about, the parking and the entranceways. So, yeah, if you're asking, that was it. Oh, I got asked that a lot last night. Yeah, so... Yeah. All right. Let's see here. I know I got sent an email. It was on my... It had to do with the college football playoff. And this is my fault because I put my phone down.
Yeah, this was from Matthew, and he dropped us a line. Steve Jones at WKOK.com. Email us anytime. How about the Big Ten, Big 12, and Pac-12 scheduling an easy team in Game 11 like the ACC and SEC do? So Penn State could schedule Kent State or whoever they have been scheduling for Game 3 at Game 11 instead. I'm all in favor for an 8-team playoff, but I'm not sure when to say they would play. But I would say all five Power 5 conference champions, the two other best teams, and the best group of five team, so like Central Florida, would fall in the group of five team.
So they can quit complaining
when they get beat.
I agree with that only if the group of five team is worthy of being among the eight. In other words, say the best group of five team is 9-3. I'm sorry, I'm not going to put them in there over a deserving at-large team. But if you have a group of five team that's ranked within the top 15, all right, well, now I'm more reticent to letting them come in. Now, Central Florida, obviously, and Western Michigan 2 years ago, they obviously filled the bill on that, as did Houston before that. See, there's always been a group of five team, I think, that should have been included in the eight. But you may hit a year where, Fresno beat Boise State this year. Boise played the game at home, for goodness sakes. Played the game at home. But I think I like his plan. I think Matthew's right about that. I think what Alabama does is they just thumb their nose at everybody. You're going to continue to allow us to do it this way. How many times have you heard me say on this show... In no uncertain terms, if I'm on the college football playoff committee, I get up in front of everybody the week they play the Tuesday after they play the Citadel, and I look at everybody and say, I'm voting him fifth. We need to make a statement about this. We only sit down six times and vote. And one of those 6 weeks, that's what they do. I said, they're thumbing their nose at us and everybody in college football when they do that, when they take 1 week and they just deliberately throw it away when we're ranking teams. I said, so let's vote them fifth this week and send them a message that, guess what? You keep doing it, you're going to be no better than fifth.
I'd be curious for the total number of people that love college football that think of the college football playoff as the Alabama Invitational. That means really, it's like they get an automatic bid every single year, which means there's only three openings.
Well, look, they've been earning their bids. So I'm not against that part because, again, these are supposed to be weekly snapshots. So it doesn't mean that the week of the Citadel game or the year before Mercer, where I lobbied to have them be fifth, it doesn't mean they don't come back next week, beat Auburn, and I put them back to first. Because now their full body of work, games 1 through 12, dictates that they're first. But when you're doing that and saying, well, we can get away with it, and you tell them in no uncertain terms, no, you can't get away with it. And telling the SEC in no uncertain terms, no, you can't get away with it. The SEC schedule is so odd that Kentucky is about to play its third consecutive non-conference game. How about that? Kentucky is about to play its third consecutive non-conference game. And they're an they're in the Southeastern Conference. Their last conference game was November 10th. So it's going to be interesting to see what, you know, what the Big Ten wants to do. Jim Delaney's made some statements about the 9-game schedule. Yeah, made some statements about the play about the playoff. But I think Matthew makes a good point. Big Ten, Big 12, Pac 12 start scheduling an easy team in Game 11 like the ACC and SEC do. It's not as easy as you think, but they can schedule Kent State or whomever they've been scheduling for Game 3 at Game 11. 18 playoff, he says, Power 5 conference champions, I agree with that. Two best other teams, I agree with that. Best group of five team, I agree with that. So I think he makes a lot of really good points there. Makes a lot of really good points. Yeah. Now, how do you go about doing this? Do you scrap the playoff weekends, you know, the championship weekend, and just have that weekend be the quarterfinals? Is that a possibility? I don't know. Something, you know, something to think about. I mean, I'm one that's been fine with four for a long time. I've been perfectly fine with four. As time goes, you know, eight is inevitable. So since eight is inevitable, what does it look like? How do you make eight work? Do you make eight work within the confines of the championship games, or do you make the eight work and eliminate the championship games? Matthew's proposal makes complete sense. Five champions, two at-larges, and a group of five team. I think he is right on in terms of concept if they go to eight. But at some point, they're going to have to go to eight, and part of what's going to do that is they're going to, money will dictate that. Money will dictate. They'll talk about the competitive part. They'll talk about the part about, you know, more teams should be qualified. They'll talk about all of that. In the end, money is going to dictate how they go about doing this. Rich Scarcella is on the show today. Rich Scarcella is on the show today. Looking forward to that.
How about Bill Bender as well?
Bill Bender's sporting news on the show.
In just a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Talk to him.
King thought he was on today instead of tomorrow, but I posted a little APB out to the suit and the King about next Thursday. Next Thursday,
yeah,
we'll
know
do
what?
Our college bowl picks.
I was thinking about that, and I thought, you know, it's maybe I'll drive to Atlantic City. Then I realized it's 5 hours. I'm not going to drive to Atlantic City for 5 hours. You kidding me?
A gas stipend, but hey, it's 5 hours is 5 hours.
It also means I got to drive 5 hours back. It's 10. Woo, boy. All right. We'll take a break. Back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in the Hummel's Wharf. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Here's our quote of the day.
from the great golfer Chichi Rodriguez. I don't exaggerate. I just remember big. Great to have you with us on the show today. We're talking about the college football playoff. We got what, Bill Bender's next half hour? Does that sound right?
You got it, right.
And then Rich will be at 4:06. And Santa tonight. Santa. I went over and checked the area out where the Magic Radio is located.
Oh, I'm glad you did, yeah.
I went over last night, checked that out. You know, the nice little WKOK radio station house there, which is really neat. All set up. And, you know, several of the kids asked me last night when they were coming in, they asked me, he said, why is that guy's plate upside down in terms of his title? I said, well, he earned it.
Shaking his head.
Yeah. I can't believe that he did that.
Well, we can.
He was exhausted working the room last night. He was exhausted. And it says, Jamie said, that's our Kevy. That's what she said. Yeah, that's my Kevy. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, you had to recharge before heading back up to get another dessert.
The desserts were good, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
And they were... I did break my little protocol there and have a slice of cheesecake with some chocolate drizzle on it. Ooh, that was good. Yeah, I had a great time last night. We had a lot of fun. All right. Certain things happening baseball-wise. Nathan Eovaldi is going to sign with the Red Sox a 4-year, $68 million deal. That's big. The Paul Goldschmidt trade, huge for the Cardinals to get him. What's interesting is two former State College Spikes were among the three players they sent. Andy Young, who's just a stone-cold hitter. I mean, Andy Young just hits. Not really sure what position he plays, but he can hit. He's one of the guys in there. A split time between double and triple. And Carson Kelly, who has played third base here for State College, he is a really good prospect that they converted to catcher. He has turned into an outstanding defensive catcher. But there's just no doubt. How many times have you heard me say, yeah, prospects versus the established guy? You take the established guy every single time. I may think the world of Andy Young, and I definitely think the world of Carson Kelly. Great guys, who I think both have really good potential. But if you're going to say to me, who would you rather have, Paul Goldschmidt or those two guys? Well, in terms of Major League Baseball potential, I take Paul Goldschmidt. That's a huge trade for the Cardinals. Huge. Alex Smith has had multiple surgeries on his leg. Well, guess what? Not only is it multiple surgeries, but he's also having problems with infections. He's had several complications because of the infection with the multiple surgeries after breaking his leg. Wow. Boy, is that tough. I'll tell you, with Alex Smith, I still say they would win the division. Without him, it becomes awfully tough. Now they're down to their third quarterback. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I was talking to Tom last night. Of course, Hyundai at Sunbury Motors and doing very well, I might add. Great news. Very pleased to bring in the outstanding Bill Bender from Sporting News. Bill, it is always a pleasure. I hope you're doing well.
Steve, where did the season go? I was just talking to Sean, and it seems like yesterday I was sitting with you in the Lash building, and we were talking about the upcoming season, and here we are, and it's getting up on Christmas. The college football season goes by so fast.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking the same thing the other day. I was getting ready for a basketball game, and I'm thinking, wow, football's over for the regular season. I mean, it's amazing, the flyby, and especially in the year where so many different things happened.
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, and in the Big Ten, it's this feeling of, I guess, two-pronged for me. I mean, one, you know, the Big Ten champ in a very strong division doesn't get in the playoff. And then two, you know, you get the shakeup with Urban Meyer leaving Ohio State 2 days later or retiring. And I was just thinking about this before I got on the phone, and I'm thinking, so who's going to take advantage of this? Is it going to be Ohio State with Ryan Day? Will it be Penn State with Franklin? Or, you know, I mean, in theory, you know, when the coach rankings come out next spring and summer, you got to think Jim Harbaugh might be number one despite no Big Ten title.
Right. I mean, and that is something to be considered here. Ryan Day is going to do one of a couple of things here. He's either going to keep things status quo with the graph high, or they could dip down, because Urban Meyer had that graph line as high as you could get it, really.
Well, I think we'll look back at that and just shake our heads. And I've been doing it all week, because you look at the first thing that gets looked at here in Central Ohio is the 7-0 against Michigan. I get that. I understand that just from living here my whole life. But the next thing, 54-4 in Big Ten games.
Yeah.
I mean, that's over 7 years. We'll never see that again. I don't think we will, not in this age. And who, like I said, I mean, is Penn State going to be that team that takes advantage on signing day? Will it be Michigan? Will it be, you know, the team I'm watching real closely in the West, because I thought they played hard despite their record. I think you know what I'm going to say. Nebraska with Scott Frost. I think they're going to get really good really fast.
Yeah, Jack Ham and I talked a couple times this year that by getting Adrian Martinez right away, it gave them a foundation to then build around that and to get good really fast.
Yeah, and you know, they were playing hard toward the end of the year. I know early it was brutal, but with first-year coaches, I think that's a trend I noticed this year. It would be really bad early. It was really bad for Chip Kelly early. But by the end of the year, UCLA had it going a little bit. Same thing with Nebraska. The Big Ten West is messy. And that was like, I wanted to run these by you. So after the championship game Saturday, I got home, knew the Big Ten wasn't going to get in. So the three proposed changes I had was one, and we can go down these one by one if you want. I think they should eliminate divisions, Steve. I really do. I think we should go do what the Big 12 does, because the Big 12, that was the difference. Oklahoma correcting their mistake got them in the playoff.
I think it's something that needs to be considered, because the Big 10, with all due respect to Northwestern, and you and I both like Pat Fitzgerald a lot, but that was not a matchup of the two best teams.
No, and here's the thing. I think the Big Ten, you know, whether you're in Pennsylvania or Iowa or Wisconsin, I think most of us think alike. We have solid core values as people, and I think the Big Ten's almost doing the honorable thing to a fault. And I say that in terms of the only 14-team conference that plays 9 conference games, the only 14-team conference that doesn't play FCS opponents on top of that. And, you know, obviously with the Big Ten championship game, the divisional imbalance, it's hard to get into the playoff. I think the Big Ten has strengthened its schedule and strengthened the conference with good, solid coaching hires up and down. I mean, but Jeff Brohm can bite you on any given night. You know, P.J. Fleck can bite you on any given night. And I think they've almost set themselves up to a fault, and that's why they're not getting into the playoff by doing the honorable thing.
And I also think the College Football Playoff Committee has not done a good enough job of sending messages. For example, and I've mentioned this before. I mentioned it before he came on, Bill. I said, look, just each of these things is supposed to be a weekly snapshot, correct? And they only do 6 of them.
Right.
And in one of them, Alabama plays either Mercer or the Citadel. I would get in that room and I'd argue that in that week, I would drop them to 5th. And the reason, and again, that's my weekly snapshot. You played the Citadel. you go to fifth. And I look right in the camera and tell Nick Saban, saying, look, okay, you have nobody to blame but yourself. You scheduled them.
Yeah, and I mean, the same thing happened this year. I mean, probably the most compelling game I was at all year in the regular season was Ohio State-Penn State, because it was a season-shifting game for both teams. I mean, with right. that last 8 minutes shifted Ohio State's entire season. If they lose there and they lose to Purdue, who knows where they're at? If Penn State wins, maybe the Michigan State game's a little bit different. And, again, right. that's that division where Michigan's in the division too. And I kind of knew Michigan. We talked about that early in the season. I had a feeling Michigan was going to be good, but he's being judged on one game, which I don't think is necessarily fair because Ohio State just has more talent. But it's tough to win the Big Ten East. And I think it's tough, and you and I talked about this, it's tough to get – I don't see a scenario in the near future where there's going to be a Big Ten team that goes 13-0. I just don't see it. I know, especially with Urban leaving, I definitely don't see it.
Right. Well, in fact, Bill, I've said before, and you and I talked about this before, college football is the only sport that we have right now where there is incredible pressure to go undefeated. No other sport has the pressure to go undefeated. You have pressure every week, but not to go undefeated. College football has that. And by the way, if you happen to lose twice, you're a disgrace.
Well, and I think it's there's only a handful of teams that have the means to go undefeated. That have the depth to go undefeated. And the two of them, the two that stand out are the two that I think are going to be playing in the national championship game, Alabama and Clemson. And Clemson, Dabo, to his credit, he's done that. But if you look at the ACC, it kind of crumbled around him this year. Florida State's back down. Louisville turned into a disaster. I mean, they had a 5-loss Pitt team, again, in the conference championship. So, and then the other point I was making is, at what point does Delaney or the Big Ten kind of lead the conversation to kind of poke Notre Dame a little bit? Now, don't get me wrong. Notre Dame deserves to be in this year, so I'm not trying to make anybody mad. I 12-0, get it. You know, undefeated, beat Northwestern, Michigan, fine. But at what point do you push Notre Dame to play that 13th game? And I will say this. I think Notre Dame has the most on the line of any team in this playoff, because if they go get shellacked by Clemson, the next time that conversation might not be as friendly for them.
I agree with that completely. That's why when the playoff committee Final Four came out, I said Notre Dame should be four. And the only reason I said Notre Dame should be four is that they took no risk in the 13th week.
I totally agree. And I thought it might happen because then it would have even meant more, because then you throw them against Alabama and say, okay, you're in. Now you got to go play them and show us what you can do. And let's see what's different from 5 years ago when you played them, which, again, to Notre Dame's credit, I do think they're a better team than they were in 12. They've upgraded up front. They've got some All-American caliber players on both sides of the ball, and they're a better team. But I want to see what they do against Clemson, because, again, you could argue that Clemson-Notre Dame is basically kind of a 40 to 50% ACC championship game,
yes,
given Notre
yes,
Dame's five-game agreement with the conference.
Absolutely. In fact, what's interesting about Notre Dame is that, Bill, if you and I were sitting down 2 years ago, so it's 2016, hey, look at Notre Dame's future schedule in 18. Wow, they've got to play USC, Virginia Tech, Stanford, Michigan, and I'm trying to remember what the other one was.
Pitt. They played Pitt.
And Florida State.
Yeah, Florida State.
And in 2018, USC's mediocre, Florida State's mediocre, Virginia Tech's mediocre. This is not Stanford's best team. Michigan, obviously, is really good. I mean, they actually ended up having a schedule that helped them go 12-0 and actually didn't challenge them as much as we would have thought in 16.
Yeah, and they played Michigan early, and you know that that really helped. That might have been a different game had they, next year they'll play in October, and I think it'll be a different game, which is a weird game on Michigan's schedule after the Penn State. It's either before or after the Penn State game. It's a really strange date for that game, but it'll be a better game then. So, yeah, I mean, they basically got in by playing a bunch of average teams besides Michigan, I think. Like, just average to maybe a little bit above average. And I don't think they game the system. I just think there's, at some point, you want everybody playing. If you want a level playing field, and people talk about this all the time, they want it to be a level playing field, well, then everybody should play 9 conference games. And everybody should ditch the FCS. And everybody should play that 13th game. And I do think the Big 12, to their credit, I think they're on to something with the no-division format, because we'll be talking about Big 10 division imbalance in Chicago next year. That's a guaranteed topic of conversation. Yeah. And it's born out of the fact that the East continues to win but not get into the playoff.
That's because the Big Ten ends up, quote, eating its own. That's a big problem in the East.
And the bowl record didn't help last year. Like, somebody asked me that last week. Well, what about the 7-1 bowl record last year? The committee obviously did not care one bit. And they have – we do have some interesting bowl matchups this year. I mean, I think you'd be hard-pressed to pick against Urban and Ohio State in his last game at the Rose Bowl.
That's right.
Fascinated by the Penn State-Kentucky matchup because Kentucky's kind of a rock'em sock'em team, and it's Trace's last game. That'll be fun. And I think Michigan can make a statement, although it seems like they play Florida every year now. I think they're going to beat Florida again.
Yeah, I do too. So you said there was, what, 3 things you were thinking of?
Well, those are the 3. The divisions, rethink the 9 conference games, or either rethink it or push the other conferences to say, hey, you have to play 9 too. Especially the ACC and SEC, because they have been in the playoff every year. And then it's kind of just the third was like, I'd poke Notre Dame a little bit. I would, because in my opinion, Notre Dame took the Big Ten spot in some, and not, they earned it.
Yeah.
I got to make that clear.
Right.
But
yeah,
that could be the Big Ten spot.
I'll say this. When Jim Delaney tried to get Notre Dame in 99, he's the only person that's tried to do this the right way. In other words, you're either all in or you're all out. You know, the Big East, to me, that was part of the road to ruination for the Big East, was they became a league and not a conference, because some teams were in for hoops, some were not. And Notre Dame, hey, take our second bowl, take our second bowl bid. What?
Yeah.
I remember one year West Virginia had a great year, and they got the third bowl bid because Notre Dame got the second bowl bid. The ACC's doing the same thing, going down the same road with them.
Well, and again, Delaney has done everything right in terms of scheduling. I really believe that. But I would be more aggressive in my campaigning. I would, because we had to listen to Greg Sankey was out there advocating. Georgia finished ahead of Ohio State in the ranking. That drove me nuts, because Georgia lost 2 games. Georgia had their chance, essentially. Georgia had one of the worst calls on a fake punt that I've ever seen. And in the wrong – I mean, Alabama was ready for it. So why would – what did they do to deserve to be in the playoff other than blow a 14-point lead? And then you had Sankey – but to Greg Sankey's credit, he came out and campaigned for it, you know, and then the conversation –
Oh, I know.
The conversation wasn't even Oklahoma and Ohio State. It was Oklahoma and Georgia. And I think that was – it's not because of some conspiracy. It's because Sankey was doing an effective job campaigning it.
No question. And not only they – but here's the part that becomes galling about the campaigning of it. In a 4-team playoff, no team should lose its way into it.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, people – the 8-team talk kicked up, and I get that, but – everybody has a different view on the 8-teamer too. It's not going to change. People will complain. Like with me, the 8-team playoff, I still don't really care about the conference championship games. Like, if Pitt or Northwestern won, they're not a playoff team to me.
No.
I mean, I don't think 5-team lost teams get into this. And our mutual friend Mike DeCourcy and I have had some really good discussions over the phone about this. That we've gotten a little heated on the phone because I just don't – I'm not a big believer in that. And, you know, Mike being a PA guy, he's going to get fired up with me. But I think the way I would have done it is you just take the 8 teams in the final rankings at the end of the regular season. I don't care if they won a conference championship. There was a pretty good – like this year, for example, the last weekend would have been Alabama-UCF, Clemson-Michigan, Ohio State-Notre Dame, Georgia, Oklahoma. I think that's pretty good if you put it on campus.
Yeah, I think I agree with that because, I mean, they sit down. If they're going to take the time, Bill, as a committee to rank them 1 through 25, because they don't just give us the Final Four. They rank them 1 through 25. Penn State's 12th.
Right.
Well, if they're going to take the time to do that, then why not just have them rank them 1 through 8 like that and move forward?
Oh, for sure. And I think that's a really good idea. And we'll eventually go to 8, I think. I know Bill Hancock continues to say there's not an appetite for it, and maybe among the power brokers there's not, but you can see enough of it from the fans that I think we'll get to 8 eventually. I do enjoy the four-teamer, though. I really enjoy the exclusivity of it because I know, I mean, last year was kind of proof, and some of them have been duds, but I think we're going to get two pretty good games this year because of Tua and Kyler, and then in the other one, I do think Notre Dame's going to give Clemson a good shot. I just don't know if they have enough to beat that team.
I really like the four a lot, like you. I know 8 is inevitable, and I think in the end, there are certain circumstances beyond schools' control and also the NCAA's control, like that case in California, which the NCAA is not confident they're going to win, where they're going to need money.
Right.
And how do you get there? Well, you open up the door to an 18 playoff, you will get more money.
That's all it is. And people say, well, they'll lose money from if we ditch conference championships, they'll lose money. There's always ways to find money. There's a you can go to 8, you can figure out a way. I guess you could add a regular season game if you really needed to, but I don't think we do. But an 18 playoff would be fascinating. I think in the interim, though, the 14 playoff is fun. It's fun arguing about number 5. I don't think we'll have as much fun arguing about number 9. And some teams, like you said, if we go to 8, there will be teams that back into the playoff. That's just how the numbers go. So.
Right.
That's just a warning because I still think the regular season would be protected. I was using the example that if we were 8 and using that model, I kind of said that LSU A&M 7 overtime game would have meant a lot more if LSU was playing for like the 8 spot.
Exactly right. Yeah, because I think there were 7 going into the A&M game. And of course, that loss in 7 overtimes dropped them out.
The regular season will always matter, but the regular season has changed because the landscape of college football has changed, So I think people just have to adjust some of their priorities. I mean, Nick Saban said it best. It really has become all about the playoff, and maybe to a fault.
Bill, it is an absolute pleasure. I mean, I think we could do this for another couple hours here, but that's how much I enjoyed it. It's always fun having you on. The conversation's always great and meaningful.
Well, let's do it again soon, Steve. I'll catch you maybe before the playoff. We can do it again.
That sounds great. I look forward to that very much, Bill. Thanks so much.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
We will take a break. Top of the hour coming up here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Bill Bender was great. We just texted back and forth, and he said, Bill says, Steve, you and I solved all of the Big Ten's problems in 20 minutes. So I texted him back and said, exactly, Middle East next. He is great, isn't he? Well, we have some great guests.
Hall of Famer out of Philly, Ray Dittinger, tomorrow.
Yeah, how about that one? Here's the first question I'm going to ask Ray tomorrow. I've already got the first question planned. And the first question is, there's a part in the book where you look back at all the great Eagles players. How many of them did you personally know? I'm going to guess 80%.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.